received some education at little Catholic schools, but was his own instructor after his 12th year. He never was a profound or accurate scholar, but he read Latin poets with ease and delight, and acquired some Greek, French, and Italian. He was a poet almost from infancy. He lisped in numbers, and, when a mere youth, surpassed all his contemporaries in metrical harmony and correctness. His pastorals, and some translations, appeared in 1709, but were written 3 or 4 years earlier. These were followed by The Essay on Criticism, 1711, The Rape of the Lock, when completed, the most graceful, airy, and imaginative of his works, 1712 to 1714, Windsor Forest, 1713, Temple of Fame, 1715. In a collection of his works, printed in 1717, he included The Epistle of Eloisa and Elegy on an Unfortunate Lady, two poems inimitable for pathetic beauty and finished melodious versification. From 1715 till 1726, Pope was chiefly engaged on his translations of the Iliad and Odyssey, which, though wanting in true Homeric simplicity, naturalness, and grandeur, are splendid poems. In 1728 to 1729, he published his greatest satire, The Dunciad, an attack on all poetasters and pretended wits, and on all other persons against whom the sensitive poet had conceived any enmity. In 1737, he gave to the world a volume of his literary correspondence, containing some pleasant gossip and observations, with choice passages of description, but it appears that the correspondence was manufactured for publication, not composed of actual letters addressed to the parties whose names are given, and the collection was introduced to the public by means of an elaborate stratagem on the part of the scheming poet. Between the years 1731 and 1739, he issued a series of poetical essays, moral and philosophical, with satires and imitations of Horace, all admirable for sense, wit, spirit, and brilliancy. Of these delightful productions, the most celebrated is the Essay on Man, to which Bolingbroke is believed to have contributed the spurious philosophy and false sentiment, but its merit consists in detached passages, descriptions, and pictures. A fourth book to the Dunciad, containing many beautiful and striking lines, and a general revision of his works, closed the poet's literary cares and toils. He died on the 30th of May, 1744, and was buried in the church at Twickenham. Pope was of very diminutive stature, and deformed from his birth. His physical infirmity, susceptible temperament, and incessant study rendered his life one long disease. He was, as his friend Lord Chesterfield said, the most irritable of all the genus irritabile vatum, offended with trifles, and never forgetting or forgiving them. His literary stratagems, disguises, assertions, denials, and, we must add, misrepresentations, would fill volumes. Yet, when no disturbing jealousy, vanity, or rivalry intervened, he was generous and affectionate, and he had a manly, independent spirit. As a poet, he was deficient in originality and creative power, and thus was inferior to his prototype, Dryden. But as a literary artist and brilliant declaimer, satirist, and moralizer in verse, he is still unrivaled. He is the English Horace, and will as surely descend with honors to the latest posterity. An Essay on Criticism, written in the year 1709. Part 1. 'Tis hard to say if greater want of skill appear in writing or in judging ill, but, of the two, less dangerous is the offence to tire our patience than mislead our sense. Some few in that, but numbers err in this, 10 censure wrong for one who writes amiss. A fool might once himself alone expose, now one in verse makes many more in prose. 'Tis with our judgments as our watches, none go just alike, yet each believes his own. In poets as true genius is but rare, true taste as